It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer. And this is the dictionary. That's what I said. Okay, ready? I walked here. I had to get a little exercise in. So if you're watching the video, you're seeing me wearing one of my long sleeve workout shirts. And because it's cold outside. And that's how that goes. Okay, let's talk about the words. The first word is gallery. G-A-L-L-E-R-Y. It is a noun from the 15th century. Number 1A. A roofed promenade or promenade. We shall learn how to properly pronounce that word way in the P's, all the way in the P's, but I think both are fine. We talked about this at the end of the previous episode a little bit because of the galleria. So it is a roofed promenade or promenade. The synonym is colonnade or colonnade. C-O-L-O-N-N-A-D-E. I think, are those related to lemonade? Maybe we should start pronouncing that word lemonade. The promenade, colonnade. Can I please have some lemonade? Please go have a lemonade stand and charge 25 cents. Okay, so now we have 1B for gallery. It is the number one definition for the word corridor, and I think of that as just a hallway. So maybe sometimes it's just a hallway. It's the gallery, walking through the gallery. I'm sure we'll see this because we have a lot of definitions, but I think of in an art museum. Each room, I think, is called a gallery. You know, of course, we think of art galleries in general, and maybe sometimes they're hallways. I don't know. There's a lot. Obviously, gallery and art, they just go hand in hand, I think. Don't they? Hands doing hand stuff. Okay, now we have number 2A. An outdoor balcony is also a gallery. I don't know the context. I don't know why. I don't know if I've ever heard an outdoor balcony be called a gallery. I would be very confused, in fact, if somebody said that to me. Let's go to the gallery. Oh, would you like to go see some art? Nope, I want to go outside. 2B, so this one is Southern and Midland. And so, because it's 2B and the outdoor balcony was 2A, that makes me think that maybe 2A is also kind of Southern and Midland. And so this definition is, the synonyms are porch and veranda. So I'm thinking of, oh, I don't know, just, you know, those big Southern houses, plantations, bad, bad history, but they have a porch or veranda at those houses, and this is, of course, the first thing that I'm thinking of. And so I guess they call that the gallery. Are you Southern? Are you Midland? Do you use this word? I have not heard of this. 2C, a platform at the quarters or stern of a ship. Well, it's 2C, so it makes me think that it should be related to 2A and 2B, but this definition seems kind of different. A platform at the quarters or stern of a ship. So I guess if this is like, maybe like it's a balcony kind of on a boat, and you call that a gallery. So I guess if it's like an outdoor area, hey, let's just go hang out at the gallery on the ship while we're being shot at by pirates. I don't know what kind of ship, just a ship. 3A, a long and narrow passage, apartment or corridor. Well, I definitely think of apartment as being different than a passage or a corridor. Those seem very similar. But apartment? Maybe there's a definition of apartment that I'm not thinking of. But it's just a long and narrow. It's a hallway. That's what I think of. Just a hallway. It's a gallery. Yeah, we saw a corridor earlier in one of the synonyms. 3B. This is a subterranean passageway in a cave or military mining system. Also, a working drift or level in mining. Well, I don't I don't do the mining. I have never been interested in doing any mining, so I am not familiar with the words drift or level in the context of mining, but I guess it's a passageway or something. I don't know. But this first section, a subterranean passageway in a cave or military mining system. Well, you know, all of those villains in movies, they have their underground layers. And so, they got a lot of galleries. You know what? Maybe they can put up some art and make it an actual art gallery in their subterranean cave layer. That's definitely what I'm going to do. 3C, an underground passage made by... Wait, what happened? Where did the words go? Made by a mole or ant, or a passage made in wood by an insect. What type of insect? Maybe a beetle. So, we're still in the underground world. This is still something underneath the surface of whatever. And so the moles or the ants... Or the beetles in wood are making galleries. And of course, now, come on, I have to put the request out there for all of you artists, not AI, but all of you actual artists, or even if you're not an artist and you want to do this anyway, please do this. Please make me an insect or insect, ant, mole, or other underground art gallery, a hallway, a passageway, where there's insects and moles walking through, hanging out, looking at the art, and what type of art is on there? I don't know. You got the Mona Lisa, Mona... I wish I could come up with a good pun, but I can't in the moment. Nope, nothing's coming to me. Maybe someday. All right, so that would be a fun image. Please make that. Okay, now, they're making galleries. All those hallways, when you have the ant farm... Before you shake it up, please don't shake it up. That's all galleries, all those little underground areas. 4A, this is a room or building devoted to the exhibition of works of art. I don't go to enough galleries. I've been to a handful. You know, they sometimes will have little snacks and wine, and I go really just for the wine. No, I'm kidding. But it's fun to see all the different art. And, If I'm in a new city or a city I've been to but I haven't been to an art gallery, I would definitely like to go to an art gallery. More for a museum, probably. I'm probably more interested in a museum, but those are galleries. I think of art galleries like current modern day is more showing, current modern day living artists. I have never had anything in an art gallery, I don't think, but my dad has. He's an artist, and he's had stuff up in a variety of galleries in the Chicago area here and there, and I think he would love to put up more. Okay, so, all about art. Now, we have 4B, I assume this will still be art-related, maybe. This is an institution or business exhibiting or dealing in works of art. I love seeing art galleries and movies and TV shows, because they're all sorts of different styles. And what a life that must be, to work at a gallery, run a gallery. It seems pretty interesting. And I like the idea of artists using the gallery as the art, because it makes it kind of a little bit more temporary. Like this art is for this space, in this space only, and just this time, and then it shall go away. I don't know, how often does that happen? I feel like it's happened sometimes. Art can be anything. Okay, now we have number 4C. The synonyms are collection and aggregation. The example is the rich gallery of characters in this novel, and that is a quote from H.S. Canby. So in this context, the characters in the novel, they are a collection, an aggregation of things, of people. They're a gallery of interesting, rich characters. And of course, I think this comes from the art world, because in the gallery, the room, the hallway where the art is being shown, it's a collection of stuff. They've been gathered from all these different places, all these different artists, collectors lending it, the estate lending it, all these, it's all coming together to be shown in this gallery. And then people were like, well, we can use that word and we can use it to talk about other things that have been collected and aggregated. And maybe if you have a collection of something, then you can call it your gallery of He-Man toys. Next, we have 5A. A structure projecting from one or more interior walls. Examples would be in an auditorium or a church. And they are used to accommodate additional people, especially the highest balcony in a theater, commonly having the cheapest seats, because they are the farthest away, the furthest away from the stage. So you don't have to pay a lot to be so far away, because you got a pretty crappy view. They call it the gallery. So it's a structure projecting from one or more interior walls. So in the church, in the auditorium, you know, you got your walls. And then you're like, well, how do we get people up there? Well, we need to build a structure. We shall call it a gallery, and we shall build it out, and people can sit on there. But what about those people that are way up there in the ceiling or way far away? We just won't charge them as much. You got to go sit in the gallery with all of the art and the rich characters. Let's see. Now we've got 5B. The part of a theater, part of a theater audience, seated in the top gallery. So the people are called the gallery. 5C. There's so many names for these structures in a theater. You got, what are all the different terms? There's the orchestra, and the orchestra, the pit. Sometimes you sit in the orchestra or near the orchestra. The mezzanine, the floor, sometimes you just call it the floor, the balcony, gallery. I feel like there's at least one or two more words used for these different types of things. I can't think of any. Mezzanine that definitely comes to mind. Place. We should just call it the place. Okay, so that was the audience in the top gallery, and now we got 5C. The undiscriminating general public. Okay, so we have taken, we see the evolution here. The people who sit in the gallery, in the top gallery, they don't have a lot of money. They just want to see the show. They're a certain group of people in society, and they're like, we are not so discriminating. We want to see the show, but we don't have a lot of money, and so we just want to go. We're just going to sit in the crappiest seats, the furthest away, the cheapest seats, please and thank you. We do not need to be way up there in front or have the best seats in the world because we are undiscriminating. And so then that whole group of people in a society is now called the gallery, which I have not heard of it used that way, I don't think. The undiscriminating general public. Okay, 5D. The spectator, I feel like that term, maybe, could it be used a little disparagingly by the upper crust to talk about those people? Oh, they are not discriminating. They don't care about art and theater. With that's the gallery over there. Don't talk to the gallery. They don't care about art and theater and dance like we do, and opera. Okay, 5D. The spectators at a sporting event, as maybe tennis or golf match. Why are we calling them that? It's still related. You know, it's just the people who go to see a thing. They're called the gallery. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like another connection. They're not undiscriminating. I feel like people who go to tennis matches and golf tournaments are probably a little bit of the discriminating type. It's not something that I have ever done. And, you know, they usually probably have, you know, pretty good seats. Tennis, they're sitting in seats for sure, but golf, they're not. They call it the gallery. Why? Because it's just a collection of people. That's it. That's all it is. They have been aggregated from different parts of the world. Number 6. A small ornamental barrier or railing as along the edge of a table or a shelf. Well, you don't want your things to be knocked off the shelf. When you have a cat, you might need this ornamental barrier or railing called a gallery so your cat can't slide things off. Now, you know, of course, if this gallery is kind of small, then they can still knock stuff over. But sometimes they like to just slide things, and it might stop them from sliding it. And so they'll get all angry. I can't slide this thing off the shelf because of your stupid gallery. Why is that called a gallery? I don't know. I see no other connections to this type of thing. So we are going to move on to the last definition for the word gallery, which is number 7, a photographer's studio. Let's go to my gallery so we can take some pictures. I mean, clearly there's a connection to art in this one. Maybe they're displaying their photographs in their studio. But I don't know. Also, it's just a room. It's a space. It's a gallery. Galleried is an adjective. Galleryite? What is this? Galleryite. That is a noun. Is that a person? Is the galleryite a person in the top gallery? One of this undiscriminating general public? Do you call them the galleryites? Never heard of that one. All right, let's look at the etymology. Is there anything? Let's see. Middle Latin, galleria, probably from Galilea, which means Galilee. Did we have that earlier? Galilee? We would have had that up here somewhere. A chapel or a porch at the entrance of an English church. So I guess that's kind of where it came from. Oh, well, that seems like the porch outside. So is that like the original gallery? This balcony or porch that I had never heard of before? I guess maybe. All right, let's make a sound effect. We're going to do... because it's like a cannon for reasons. So the next word is gallery forest. It's a forest where you just put up art on the trees. That would be kind of cool. This is a noun from 1920. A forest growing along a watercourse in a region otherwise devoid of trees. Well, that's very fascinating. So there's no trees except when you get to this water area. Oh my gosh, there's trees. Holy crap, where'd the trees come from? We got a forest, and it's a gallery forest. Why is it called a gallery forest? Because it's just a different space, a room, quote unquote, in this outside nature area. A gallery forest. Do I need to look up a picture of a gallery? And why are there trees all of a sudden growing here? Where did all of these trees come from? Is it the water? It would make sense. Oh my gosh, look at these pictures. There are definitely, it definitely seems like it's the water. You know, water is life. Life grows from water. So yes, along the water, it looks like that's more commonly where these trees are. All of a sudden, whoa, we got trees. Look for the trees. You might find water. That's probably something people say. Yeah, fascinating. I'm sure I was aware of this, but never heard of the term. Oh, because it's like a corridor. It goes along the water. Narrow strip of trees that grows along a river or wetland in a landscape that is otherwise mostly treeless. Grassland, savanna, desert. Okay, so yeah, no, seriously. If you're in one of those areas, you're stuck, you're in a desert, and you need water. I don't know how you got stranded in a desert like a comic strip, but you're there. And if you find some trees, you might find some water. Okay, now, we have gallery goer. This is a noun from 1888. One who frequently goes to art galleries. That's kind of what I thought it was going to be. A gallery goer. Let's go. Let's go to the galleries. What should we do tonight? I know. Let's go to a gallery. Why is that? Because we are gallery goers. That's all we do. We just go to art galleries. Do we buy anything? No. We save all of our money. We're saving lots of money going to galleries because that's how we get dinner and drinks. That would be a fun date. You don't even have to buy anything. You just go get some snacks, some cheese probably, and maybe little meats and wine. Probably wine. And then you're good. And then you get to see art, and maybe you can talk to people and hear about what they think about the art. That will be my new job, a gallery goer. How do you get paid? I don't think so. Maybe when I'm retired. Next we have Gaeta, or Gaeta, which is a very slightly, only a tiny little difference in the pronunciation there. So anyway, Galleta, G-A-L-L-E-T-A, noun from 1872. This is either of two perennial grasses, chiefly of the southwestern U.S. and Mexico, used for forage. Used for forage. So is it mostly for animals foraging for food? Humans foraging for these grasses? The species names are, we have a few here, Hilaria rigida or rigida. Hilaria. Also Hilaria, is it James E. I? Yeah, it looks maybe somebody's name James who got to name this one, and there's a double I at the end. And then also we have Pluriphis rigida or rigida, and also Pluriphis jamesii again. Yeah, okay, so these are perennial grasses. Does that mean that they come back year after year? I think so. So galleta is a Spanish word for hardtack. Hardtack. Is that a grass term? All you grass people, is that a grass term? I don't know. I guess I'm not a grass people. I'm also not a gallery goer. Next is galley. Noun from the 13th century. Number one, a ship or boat propelled solely or chiefly by oars. We talked a little bit about this at the end of the previous episode. There is a picture. We should talk about this real quick. Oh, no, actually, we got to have to say. So that's number one, right? Number one, ship solely or chiefly propelled by oars. But now we have 1A. A long, low ship used for war and trading, especially in the Mediterranean Sea from the Middle Ages to the 19th century. Also, the synonym, which was the word that we had before, which is galleus. Galleus. It looks like gal-ass. Galleus. So, there is a picture of this boat. This long, low boat for war and trading from hundreds of years ago. And, you know, this looks like kind of your typical, I guess semi-typical kind of large pirate ship. I don't have the right terms for boats. I just call them pirate ships. But yes, it's and has these very long oars that are coming out the sides. And so inside, there are all these people, all these dudes, probably not getting paid or treated very well. And they're just rowing. They're like, oh my God, this is my life. I just have to row this boat all the time. Where are we going? What are we doing? I don't know. I can't see anything. Just keep on rowing. What a life we live. At least we got some drums. But there's also, it looks like there's also some sails, which I do believe Gallius said it could be sails or oars, both. And, you know, because sometimes your rowers get sick and die, and then you need sails. Okay, so that is that. I mean, yeah, I can't describe it very well. It's just a big, big, tall boat. Big, tall boat. Now, though, we have 1B. It is a warship of classical antiquity. It says compare to the words bireme and trireme, so two something and three something. Is it sails? What's the two and the three? Masts, maybe? There's two or three masts. I'm not sure. And yeah, just an old warboat, a warship. We got another one, 1C. It is a large open boat as a gig. I guess that's a gig is a type of boat. An open boat formerly used in England. Can't use them anymore. Let's just look up. I mean, obviously, I should be posting pictures of some of these things on the social media at Dictionary Pod if you're interested. So let's just look up. Nope, I didn't want gallery. I wanted galley. That's the word I'm looking for. And yeah, so we got so many boats. So many boats are in my face right now. Lots of different types of boats. That one is the exact same picture that's in the book that I'm reading right now. Yeah, I was trying to think of, was there anything interesting? Oh, and I see other pictures of more galleys, which we got to now move on to because we got definitions for those pictures. It's number two, the kitchen and cooking apparatus, especially of a ship or airplane. So the boat is the galley. But then for some reason, the kitchen area on the boat also became galley? How did that happen? Why do we do that? I don't know. Maybe the etymology will say, but I'm not sure about that. So now we got 3A, an oblong tray to hold especially a single column of set type. An oblong tray to hold especially a single column of set type. What are you holding on this? A specific type of a thing, and it's oblong. And I don't know, I guess I can just look up oblong or galley tray. I'm seeing circle and oval trays. And I guess you're only allowed to put a specific type of a thing on it? It's a galley. Well, now we have 3B, which is a proof of typeset matter, especially in a single column before being made into pages. Okay, so we are specifically talking about text. So maybe the previous one, oblong tray to hold especially a single column of set type. Type, literally, not a type of a thing, literally, type, text, letters. So this is in the printing world, this oblong tray would have probably been, if it's holding a single line, it's going to be very long and skinny, and then you put your letters in there, and then once you figure out their positions and everything, then you put them on this thing, and it's a proof. It's like, hey, I'm putting all my letters together in all of these trays, and is this how we want it to look? Yes, this looks wonderful. We shall call it a galley. And that came from the oblong tray, which is long and skinny, and maybe the long and skinny thing is connected to the kitchen on the boat, because maybe it was long and skinny because of just the how the boat was built, and that's a galley. And is it related to gallery? Because that's also a long and skinny corridor sometimes. Yep. That's all I got to say about that. Except, let's look at the etymology. There's nothing interesting, really, from Middle Greek, galeia. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, moving on to... Did these galleys have cannons on them? Says that they were maybe warships, so sure. Next we have galley west, two words with a hyphen, adverb from 1875. This is into destruction or confusion. So remember, this is an adverb, into destruction or confusion. The example is, was knocked galley west, was knocked into confusion, into destruction. Maybe when you were in a boxing match and somebody punched you real good. Just saw a video this morning of, it was a clip from some old movie. It was like the sheepdog something, and they had a dog for a lot of it, but then when the dog had to do stunts, it was just a dude in a costume. And so one of the shots was the dog punching somebody. So that guy, that person who got punched by the dog, was knocked galley west into confusion. Oh my, why? The dog just punched me? I'm very confused by this. That's what he said, not what I said. So the etymology of this says it is probably an alternative of the English dialect word colley west, with a C, C-O-L-L-Y, west, which means badly askew. So you British people, I know there's at least a couple of you, do you use this word? Is this maybe it's a dialect not in your area, so maybe you're not aware of this. But colley west means badly askew. So something got knocked askew. It's not right. It's in a bad position. So it's colley west, and I love the British terms for things. And then it became galley west because what? Americans had to change it. Never heard of this one. It's a good one. We should try and use it. I got knocked galley west. Pow. Now we have gallfly. One word, noun from circa 1834. This is an insect, as a gall wasp, that deposits its eggs in plants, causing the formation of galls in which the larvae feed. Okay, so we are starting to get a little bit more information. So in the previous episode, we had gall, which was a growth on a plant structure, and it's related to the gall wasp, which is still coming up. We haven't gotten there yet, don't worry. But we are getting some more information. The fly, the gall fly, so the gall wasp is an example of a gall fly, but I guess there's other ones. And what do? They deposit their eggs in the plant, and then I guess that action causes the plant to be like, what's inside of me? What is this thing? I have to change my shape to deal with these eggs inside of me now. It causes the formation of galls in which the larvae feed. So then the larvae, when they come out of their eggs, they're like, look at all this plant material around me. I'm going to eat it. Thank you, plant, for providing me such sustenance. What an interesting thing that happened in nature. Was it just an accident? The insects were like, I got to put my eggs somewhere. I don't know where to put them. I want them to be safe because I don't want predators to eat them. So I'm going to find this spot inside of this plant. And then the plant just happened to grow more plant material around it. And then the larvae were like, that's exactly what I want to eat. And then it just, evolution was like, oh, this is a great system. Let's do more of this. And then it just worked out well for everybody. Does it work well for the plants? They have more material. I don't know. Scientists, tell me. Okay, gall fly. Lots of different gall flies out there, I guess. Maybe lots. I don't know how many there are. Pew! Next is galliard. Galliard. G-A-L-L-I-A-R-D. First form, adjective from the 14th century. This one is archaic, and the synonyms are gay and lively. So the etymology says this is from Middle English, galliard, which means strong and lively. From the Anglo-French, same word, I think, and it means bold or stalwart. It's bold and stalwart. So this is a very interesting collection of words here. Bold, stalwart, strong, lively, and gay. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like just putting my brain in, like, old-time English, you know, this is hundreds of years old. I don't know. It feels like an odd collection, an odd gallery of words, if you will. So that is galliard. Galliard. Gay and lively. But we have another entry for this word, so we got to see if we can learn some more stuff about this. Pow! It's the second form of galliard, which is a noun from 1533, so a little bit later, just a little 200-ish years later. This is a sprightly dance with five steps to a phrase popular in the 16th and 17th centuries. The galliard dance. Maybe it's a little bit of a gay and lively dance when you're doing these five steps to a phrase. What steps do you do? How do they all know how to do these dances? When you watch them in movies, they're like, let's dance. And we're like, we totally know this dance. Were you taught when you were a child in your gym class, like we were taught square dancing, which we use all the time? Were you taught all of these dances of the times? And the old people were like, look at those young people dancing five steps to a phrase. Oh, that's too many steps. We would only dance three steps to a phrase because that's more cool. Okay, so people are definitely, you know, you can look up videos of this Renaissance dance. Maybe I should just watch one of them briefly. We don't need to put on the audio. I shall describe what I'm seeing. I am seeing modern day people who are dressed in Renaissance clothes, and they're doing this little hippity-hoppity dance. Oh, and he is kicking his legs a lot. Oh, yes, this is very fancy. And now she is kicking her legs, but you can't see them well because she has a very large dress. And they're, ooh, this is, definitely there's some courtship going on. And there's a woman over there fanning herself, like, ooh, look, that was a very nice five-step to a phrase. Oh, yeah, lots of kicking and tapping your toes and your heels around. Look, we're doing this wonderful dance. And, oh, they're getting hot and heavy doing this What is this? Galliard dance. Lots of footwork. I mean, that's really all it is. Their hands and arms really aren't doing so much. Sometimes, this is almost like Irish dancing. A little bit of it is like Irish dancing. It looks very silly to me, I got to admit. But it seems like a good workout. And it's just a lot of footwork. Five steps to a phrase. Okay, wonderful, wonderful Galliard Renaissance dance. I shall make up my own because you just got to kick your feet a lot. Okay, moving on to our very last word. It's Gallic. Gallic. Capital G-A-L-L-I-C. Adjective from 1635. This is of or relating to Gaul or France. Gallic. Gaul. Gallic. I guess that's how it got changed. That's pretty much it for that one. So we now have to pick a word of the episode. Me and all of my personalities is the we. Yes. Word of the episode. What are we going to pick? Today we had gallery, gallery forest, gallery goer, galleta, galley, galley west, gallfly, galliard, and gallic. Okay, which one of these? There was some fascinating stuff here, of course. The gallfly situation particularly was interesting. But I think I have to pick galley west with a hyphen as the word of the episode because it's I just love the term for this type of description. Ooh, you hit me. Ooh, you hit me. You hit me galley west. I'm knocked askew. I'm knocked confused. I'm into destruction, galley west. Yeah, that was so good. Yeah. All right, now I shall tell you about another movie that I watched. The next one on the list is the movie Nashville, which I had never seen before. I had been wanting to see this for a while because I heard it was good, and Robert Altman was a very interesting filmmaker. So what to say? I mean, I was talking to my friend Jonah about this a little bit because he has seen Nashville a number of times. He lives in Nashville. He is in the music world specifically. He's very smart when it comes to movie consumption and talking about movies. He's a very smart dude. And so he had some interesting thoughts about it. And I recommend the movie. I think that he said that some people in Nashville who are in the business had some issues with it because maybe it doesn't show things in the most accurate light. But also, I think aspects are kind of accurate. Like I said to him, because we were texting about it, and I was like, it's interesting that you see the same group of people in the same places every scene. It reminded me of The Simpsons, how it's like always just the same core group of people, always in whatever's going on, it's the same people. And that's kind of what it was like. And they're from all different walks of life, and they just happened to be at the same thing. And then he was like, that's actually not totally uncommon in Nashville because it's kind of a small city and, you know, people want to go see lots of different types of music and stuff. And Robert Altman is such an interesting filmmaker because there's all this layering of talk, which has this much more natural feel. It feels unnatural because we aren't used to seeing that in movies, but in the real world, when you're in a space, everybody's having their own conversations, and so it is much more realistic, and it's a little distracting, but then you realize, well, wait a minute, if he wants you to hear something, he will bring that to the front. He'll get rid of all the extra chatter, so you definitely hear what you need to hear, and it just adds this layer of fullness and realness to these scenes. There's some interesting characters in this movie, particularly the British woman who says she's making a documentary, but is she making a documentary? I don't know. Anyway, that's going to be the end of this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.